Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 11 of Has Opinions Podcast. Today, we are taking it to 11. I am one of your hosts, Daniel.
This is Chris.
And this is the podcast where we talk about our opinions, we have opinions, and we dish our opinions to you. So, yeah. How's your week going, Chris?
Good. It's going good because I got a bunch of time in on recording videos for the MySQL backups course. So I'm in like 20-something videos deep. Thank God, finally, able to get like a real chunk of recordings done, and that feels really good compared to the usual of like, oh, I still have to do this. Oh, I haven't done anything yet.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen some of your stuff coming out and some of your tweets like, oh, yeah, this is coming. I'm doing this, and I'm glad to see some progress on it. It's cool.
Me too.
Yeah, pre-show, I was talking to you about my week this week and just sort of I've been tracking my sleep and tracking a couple of things, actually. There's a guy named Matt Ragland on Twitter and YouTube. Matt Ragland, yeah, at Matt Ragland, so maybe he'll hear this. He works over at ConvertKit, and ConvertKit's a client, and so he's on my YouTubers list, and he does bullet journal type stuff, and I watched one of his planning videos on sort of just a habit tracker bullet journal, so that's what I started on paper. You asked why I'm not in Excel or something, and paper was just easiest, and I didn't even buy like a fancy bullet journal thing. I'm using one of my kids' spiral notebooks that they sell for like 3 cents, 3 cents an item before the school year. And I'm just tracking like sleep. Did I exercise that day? And my stress levels. And like looking at stress levels for this week, they like start off low. And then these last couple of days have just been pinging high because just stressed out for this conference that I just was on. It's an online conference. And so I think I have the gene defect that like says that you will never do your slides before the day of the presentation you're giving. So like I was just doing slides yesterday and doing slides this morning, and then like I finished them about 2 hours before the talk. So I had time to eat lunch. That's about it.
Nice. I can never do that. I have to be prepared. And I really only do like one talk a year, maybe, because it's like such a stressful process and like takes so long for me to do it.
Yeah. And so that's why today I wanted to talk about conferences. Like there's conferences that, I mean, you and I have both been to conferences. Do you remember what your first conference was? Like your business one?
It might've been the very first Laravel conference.
Nice. That's a lot cooler. So I'm older than you. So I'm trying to think about, I think the first conference that I went to was like I had an internship in college, and there was a conference. It was in Dallas, and I think the conference was in Dallas. I'm trying to think of the first one I traveled to. That might have been with the bank, using this mainframe software that they used for payroll, and they flew us all up.
Sounds so boring.
It was terrible. Oh my gosh, it was horrible. They flew us all up to Chicago though, so I think I got to see the Broadway show Chicago in Chicago and like have some nice dinners. But
Chicago's a nice city. I like it a lot.
I was the red shirt. I was the token IT guy there to just like answer the IT questions if they come up, which they never did. Nobody's talking about shit there on these conferences. Like there may be schmoozing so they can sign some big checks, but I was just like, cool, free trip. I'm there. Let's go. Yeah. But that's when I was single, right? Or that's when I was, I think maybe newly married, and I was like, yeah, I'll go to this conference. Sure, why not? But now
you're single up until you have your first kid.
Yes, pretty much. Well, no, no, Amanda. No, my wife came with me. She came on the trip. So
oh, yeah, cool.
You buy that. You buy the plus one ticket. You have a room. So yeah, they stay in your room with you. And I remember I saw her at the end of the day. I'm like, I've been sitting in really uncomfortable chairs in conference rooms. What have you been doing? She's like, I've been on the Miracle Mile spending money. Yo,
nice.
So she had a blast. But we wanted to talk about conferences today because like there's the in-person conferences where, you know, hundreds of people spend thousands of dollars to show up in a city together in the same sort of meet space. And then there's online conferences like the one I was just on. It's a 2-day online conference where there's hour slots of people presenting. So I turned on my nice lights and had my backdrop and stuff and used my good podcasting mic and talked over some slides. So and there's a chat room. So like, what is your current, I have a current rule right now. Like I just don't do conferences in another city. They're not worth it to me right now. Do you have like a current opinion on conferences, like in person?
Conferences have changed and evolved for me over the last 4 or 5 years, where the first ones were all about learning like what the people were talking about. And then eventually that has shifted to, well, there's a few reasons why it shifted, but the main shift, the overall arc, is me wanting to meet and talk to the people who attend it instead of being interested in the conference talks themselves so much.
Yep.
So, and that shift has been for a few reasons. One, I'm really involved in the Laravel community. I've done some talks at Laravel, LaraCon. But also, LaraCon each year is the one time a year we get together at work and all meet each other, because Userscape used to sponsor Laravel. Taylor used to work at Userscape, so like it's Userscape is kind of heavily involved in the Laravel community. So we all use that as the excuse to meet each other once a year. Paid expense. Everyone fly to whatever city it's in, and we'll plan Userscape for a day or two as well as attend this conference. But even then, like now I'll go and like just talk to the people who are hanging out, and I might see some talks, I might not, and we might go off and do some like fun stuff together, us at Userscape, instead of stay for the talks all day and that kind of thing.
Cool. Yeah. And I think that probably the best conference that I had been to was one where I worked for a remote company and we all came together for this conference. It was, I think, WordCamp Europe, one of the first ones, and it was in the Netherlands, and it was sort of a university town. So we show up and they happen to be having their like annual city party. So they had like all these floating stages set up and like nightly concerts and festivals and fair and stuff. So like, right. Yeah, so you get a conference, you have your team meeting with your coworkers, and then you have this like local festival. So like, yeah, that was great. But
you said Amsterdam?
It was in Leiden, which is south of Amsterdam.
Okay, gotcha. So either way, that's fun. That's like a better location than just some city in the US.
Yes, yes. It's better than, you know, Atlanta. So sorry Atlanta. But now, like, totally, like we were talking in the pre-show, like it's a different thing. Like if I want my family to come to the conference, then it's me plus wife plus 3 kids. It's a bigger expense. And also
we did that last year at LaraCon, where my ticket and stuff is paid for, but Natalie's and Wesley's was not, and they came along, and that adds a lot of more planning, and like the logistics of everything become harder, and there's less time at the conference and more time, you know, splitting time between your family and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And like I went to a conference in Atlanta, and the only reason the family came is because we knew some people, and Amanda was going to have a home that was kid proofed, and she could stay there all day while sort of the husbands went to the conference. And so
that's good. We actually had some friends in Chicago where my family came too, but we were only meeting them for dinner, and they're like a young couple our age, but they're moved there and they don't plan on having kids, and they just have like 1-bedroom apartment, so they're like living that life instead of the kid life. So it's totally different. We weren't gonna like just hang out with them and bombard their house and stay with them or anything.
So like Wesley, no, don't touch our amazing everything glass sculpture that we leave in the probably middle of our house.
My friend Josh, who lives there, his wife's an interior designer or something similar to that, so everything's like super designed and looks really nice wherever they live.
I just hear dollar signs.
Cannot be a good place for a kid.
Oh my gosh. So because of the complications now, it's just different. Amanda, my wife, doesn't want to go on a conference trip and then be sort of stuck with the kids all day. We did that in Austin, actually. I was paid a stipend to speak at this conference, and then they paid for our hotel. But she was sort of like, all right, I'm here at Austin, let's go to a park, kids. And she goes to a park, and there's a homeless person who's naked from the waist down. So like, yes. She's like, this is great. I'm having a super day. So it's not really, she doesn't really, it's not, like, it's sort of exciting for me to be able to see people, but like not exciting for her. So,
yeah, exactly.
I sort of had a rule now, like out of city conferences are not on the books. I don't need to learn sort of a new thing. There's other ways to learn. But what about like someone getting started in a community? So if like I'm looking at Laravel to build up some upcoming projects, right? And so maybe I want to talk to some of the people who are in the community and get their ear on a certain topic. Like, would you say a new person getting in a community should, you know, sort of bite the bullet and go to some of these conferences that are offered? Or has Twitter changed the game? Like you can be part of a community just by being online on Twitter.
Twitter has changed the game. So I think that's the first place to start is like, I mean, you don't need to like build an audience and all that kind of stuff. And I don't even mean Twitter followers. I mean, just like put yourself out there and get a newsletter or something, whatever. Like that is a strategy. That is a good effective strategy to becoming part of a community. Just do the online stuff, like contribute to projects, make projects, tweet at people, all that good stuff. Because conferences are hard to like grab people's attention and actually talk to them for any significant amount of time, especially if you're a complete stranger and like, you know, you can get someone's ear who's like in the community, but you know, they're probably not going to end up going out to dinner with you because they probably have dinner plans with like the other million other people who are already embedded in that community and like, you know, have made plans ahead of time, you know?
Yeah, totally. There's already clicks that have been set up, not in a bad,
all that kind of stuff.
Not in a bad way, but just like, hey, I really like this person. I haven't been able to see them. I want to catch up on their life. And, you know, I didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a limited amount of time. So
it's really hard to just like jump into a group like that and then like grab someone's ear and then actually talk shop for a while. You know, I mean, you definitely can, but I wouldn't expect to like spend a whole night with someone like well known in the community because it's just too hard to kind of break through that.
I think it's just much more, it's a better strategy to stay home, learn the tools, learn the community, observe it on blog posts, on podcasts, on Twitter, make your own blog posts and podcasts and tweets, and then sort of get known that way. I think it's
And I'd say if you do go to a conference, come with like a specific purpose and, you know, kind of a specific person you want to talk to with specific questions or what you want to talk about and that kind of thing, because it helps to just be like, hey, I'm Chris, I want to talk to you about this thing, if you just walk up to someone. Because, you know, you'll get their attention for a little while and they'll probably be able to, you know, talk about that for a bit.
Yeah, definitely. But, okay, so there's and then sort of the flip side is, like, for me, again, out-of-city conferences are not really my thing anymore because I'm footing the bill for myself and I'm also footing the bill for family. And that conference that paid me to come to speak doesn't actually exist anymore, so... But if your employer is paying for it, then heck yeah, go, you know, enjoy it. And they probably, if they're paying for it, they're probably also requiring you be there.
Right. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you can just go to these conferences. It's a good time to meet other people. You don't have to meet someone like super well known in the community to get value out of it either.
Yeah, definitely. I remember going to a conference in Grand Rapids, Michigan, the hot urban, metropolis of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I met people there that I still talk to. Like I met a guy there who's in my mastermind, you know, 6 years later. So yeah, it's totally doable. But just have, I guess, the right set of expectations going into it.
Yeah, that sounds right. So I mean, it's not, I mean, a lot of conferences I go to are tech, not business too. So maybe there's like a different flavor of how you go about it in a businessy one.
Yeah.
I did go to MicroConf for the first time last year, and that was a lot of fun. Again, I skipped a lot of the talks to hang out with people. I treated it as like a vacation conference instead of like a conference where I really had to like...
Was that one in Vegas?
Had a duty. It was in Vegas. Yeah, that's the one in Vegas. So that was fun too. I learned how to play craps for the first time. Craps. That's it.
Did you win a lot of money?
No, but I didn't lose. What happened is I never bring cash or money with me anywhere, and I didn't expect to gamble. So when I did, Ian would just like give me a few chips to work with, and my only goal was to just be able to pay those back to him. And that happened every time. I didn't lose money ever. So I probably made like $100 or something. But
that's a good strategy.
Somehow I didn't lose. I don't know, because I don't know why I didn't lose that money, though.
Step
you know?
One, have someone else give you chips.
And someone else to put the bill.
Step two, don't lose said chips. Step three, have a fun time.
Yeah. The only thing I did was craps. I had no idea how to play, but Ian who's also there. So Ian is my boss at Userscape, but he also went, and I also went, just not out of coincidence, because we obviously talked to each other about it, but it was not related to a Userscape activity.
Did you know how to play craps before?
No. So he taught me how. So we were just playing craps a bunch during that time.
See, that's the way to learn craps, dude. When I went to Vegas for the first time, I went to me and my travel partner, we'll just say, where we passed a sign that was like, hey, free craps lessons. And so we're like, sure, let's learn how to play craps. And so we showed up for the craps lessons, and they like got everybody around the table, and there was a person there teaching, and she taught this certain strategy for betting. And I later found out that strategy is like ridiculously stupid. And like, so we went to an actual table to do what she did, and we lost so much money. Like we lost really quickly. And I was like, wait a second, we shouldn't let the people who are going to financially gain from us playing this game teach us said game. So yeah, that was a little backwards, but yeah.
Yeah. Cause Ian didn't give me a strategy. He said like, oh yeah, put money down on this thing, cause this thing has like the highest chance of success. And that was it. And then the other thing was just the tactical, like how the actual table works.
Okay, yeah. And it's a fun game. It's exciting. It's the one they always show on like the movies, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. It's fun. People standing around, everyone's excited,
blowing on the dice. yeah. High rollers and stuff. Cool. Mm-hmm. So maybe if your employer's paying for a trip to Vegas, then take it. But the conference that I did today was like literally it's the same desk, the same machine, the same camera and mic that I used to record this podcast, that I used to get on client calls with clients. Like the investment's already done, right? It's just my time. And I get to help people and provide some value there. But the only downside is there's no hallway track, right? Like you were talking about meeting people that you know at these conferences, but online, like I sort of gave my presentation, then they turned off the recording and that was it. Like there was a chat room, but I didn't really see anybody in there I knew.
Yeah, exactly. So, again, Laravel, Laracon has had, I think, two or three online conferences, that's run by Ian actually, instead of by Taylor. And, I talked on one and didn't talk in the first one. I think I talked in the second one. But it's just like you said, like I wouldn't pay for one right now for pure informational purposes, unless there's like some specific talk about something I wanted to know about.
Yeah, definitely.
Just because there isn't like the hallway track and meeting people, or like friends who you know who have gone to every other Laracon are going to be there, so you want to see them again. You know, that you're missing out on that. So it's really about learning, which is fine. It's just not the stage where I'm at. It's not where I want to be, or you know, how I want to spend my time.
Yep.
I don't want to spend my time learning. It's not exactly what I want to say. I just don't want to go to the conference and have to sit in front of a computer all day like just be watching YouTube all day.
Can you think of like the best conference talk you've ever seen? And then maybe the cringeworthiest conference talk?
I have no idea.
I'm thinking of the cringeworthiest was there was a guy at a conference who, now this is I don't know. He got up there and he basically said like a couple of racial slurs or just some really awkward, like he wasn't American. It was an American conference. And like, you just sort of hear the crowd like pulling their hair when he said it. So maybe it was a translation thing.
Yeah, it could be, maybe.
But and then later on, a client of mine hired his company, and I was just like, hey, I remember this name. That's the dude who dropped those gems on stage. Awesome.
That's weird. The only cringeworthy things I've seen are when like the person's just not doing well or they're super nervous, so you're kind of rooting for them, but at the same time, you're just like, talk's not going super well.
Oh, no. Just like I messaged you today, someone before me was having a great presentation. It made me feel better. Like, they sound a bit not going to be as bad as that guy. Well, there is that
part. Yeah. If you're after them, you're like, oh, that feels great. I'm going to rock this. Yeah,
exactly. I'm an improvement from that. No. I don't even... I think the best presentation I've seen is probably because it's the one I remember. There was a guy who gave a presentation, and he talked about WordPress, and he talked about one of his examples was Asian men's why Asian men love their hair or something like Asian men's haircuts, and apparently it was just he's an Asian dude, so it was okay for him to talk about, but he was just trying to explain how he gets his hair done, and sometimes he's sitting there for like 5 hours, but he somehow tied it into publishing and, you know, blogging and like getting your content out there and stuff. But it was like, wow, that's a really interesting.
Telling a good story, man, that's a real skill that I have not even tried to do for a talk and or really for anything.
No, because I'm not it's not something I practice. Like, I'm not like,
yeah, week in, it's not week how out, I talk to people
week in, week out, saying, you know, in a world where there's a dude sitting in front of a computer, like, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I have no experience like tying two stories in together like that, a story and like a tech lesson or anything like that. I just like haven't even tried to do it.
So did you other people in your family like go to conferences?
No. Not that I know of. Like, maybe my sister, but if she has, it's been, you know, some super dry like financial thing, but I honestly haven't heard about it if she did.
Yeah, so the only experience I have is just these tech conferences and stuff. So there's sort of a vibe and a cadence to these tech conferences and that I'm used to. And then I think my sister's a principal at a middle school, so she has recently mm-hmm. been going to like principal-y type things, conferences and stuff. So I wonder what that's like, getting a bunch of middle school principals together in a conference.
Yeah. Who knows?
So, and then, yeah, like we mentioned before, like, so neither of us really want to travel without our spouses or our family, but then there's sort of the,
I didn't say that. I don't mind doing that.
Record scratch, freeze frame. But seriously, please, will somebody pay for me to go to conference?
Anybody, please. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, so maybe. I mean, somebody. It's just me. But then there's the folks who, like, that's their life. Like, they are, every week they're at a different conference. Like, there was a WordCamp here in San Antonio last year, and you see the vendors area of, like, the people who, like, have rings around their eyes because they just caught the red eye into town, and they just finished setting up their booth, and they're like, all right, let me talk to you about our product. Hello, Philadelphia. Like, no, you're in San Antonio. Well, whatever.
Whatever. I was there 2 days ago. It's rum in their breath from the flight.
That's not me either. Holy crap. That would be an interesting existence.
Oh, man. Yeah, some people have do that, what, the dev evangelist type job or whatever the title is that makes you travel all over the place and do talks. I don't know how, like, flights and jet lag, and without jet lag, flights are terrible enough, and, like, how you feel when you get off a plane, it's just, like, it's scummy and gross. I can't, like, I just would not want to do that job.
And just everything in your life is to the whims of the travel gods, like, did my tablecloth and my swag get here on time? Or
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Some people like it. It's not for me. And that's okay. It's not right or wrong. It's just different.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they can vacation or do non-work stuff around that. But I got to imagine the schedule is kind of tight. Like, all right, you're flying back the day after the conference because that's when I booked the plane for you.
You know what's sort of a level above that? That a couple of, like, I have... again, a mastermind of a couple guys in there. One of the guys in my masterminds ran that conference that's going on right now today. And the other one has run a in-person conference. So he ran one, and just sort of watching his process of leading up to it and just all the details and the things that have to happen for an in-person conference. That's a challenge. It's a lot to get everything orchestrated, especially in a town you don't live in.
Yep. Based on secondhand experience, I've not heard anything but stress.
Yeah. My stress meter would, my habit tracker would be all red from writing in all the stress on that.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, people I know who do it yearly, which I mean, I know like 1.5 people, start planning it like a year ahead of time, like getting all that stuff together.
Or, what one of these conferences did, they hire a local conference organizer.
Yeah. Yep, definitely.
They are your boots on the ground. They are your person with the connections, and you just sort of fill out a menu. But again, that's going to be more expensive, but at least it will keep you from having more gray hair.
Probably go a little more smoothly. I mean, you probably have a trade-off between the quality of some decisions they make for you and just being more expensive also. But yeah,
that's true. Conferences are interesting, man. There's good points, and then there's definitely some detractors from it. So
yeah, it's fun. I'm a little introverted on the introverted side, so I get tired of it pretty quick. Less, you know, over 2 days, I'm just kind of like, I don't want to be here anymore.
I'm super extrovert, so you would think I'd like it, but I probably changed just in that I don't want to put the effort of getting there. Like yeah, I know yeah. I have fun there, but I just don't want to get there.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right. Traveling is a huge pain.
Yeah. Cool. So, you are getting ready for, sort of switching gears. You're still building out, MySQL backups and yep. tweeting out some of the notices on that. You have any launch dates in mind or any production schedules?
So I bet you it'll be after the New Year's at this point, because I don't want to release anything over holidays. I don't have no evidence, but I'm pretty sure that it's just not a good time to release a product. So probably after the New Year's, the way it's going, because I need to plan the back half of it, or maybe the back quarter of it, and that's kind of the more complicated part. Cool. So then I need to edit the videos. Hopefully someone is going to be editing them for me for the first time, and I'm really looking forward yes. to not having to do that myself. So
she's a good editor.
Yeah, oh my God. That process is brutal. And then what do I need to do? I need a little write-up under each video. And I mostly have that in notes, but it's all kind of like garbage note format. So I need to clean that up, and so I can have like a written format of the commands I run under each video, just so people can look at that and skim it, copy and paste from it, and then put it into my application that handles, you know, charging and all that good stuff. So, yeah, plenty to do.
There is plenty to do. I launched a new plugin, Onshot plugins. I launched it earlier in the month, and then I have another one queued up to launch again. But
cool.
in this talk I gave today, which was talking about subscription sites, it was 10 ways to improve subscription sites. One of the ways was to do some functionality that I have in a upcoming plugin. So when I realized what I was doing, I was like, you know what, this would be a great marketing option. So I went ahead and set up the product page, and we had some coming soon functionality in there, like a little checkbox that just sort of changes the way the product page is. So I checked that and put together a quick graphic and some screenshots and put them in there. And then I went into ConvertKit and created a quickie form just to say, hey, want to know when this launches? Sign up here. So,
yes, an email list.
Yes.
Yes.
I am
about time.
I'm freaking email Neanderthal here. I have not evolved. I'm horrible at it. So, but I thought you'd be proud of me for at least
definitely
putting that in front of people, because my list is not fantastic. So, yeah. So maybe we'll get some people to sign up.
Yeah, for sure. I think an email list is just like so important to get sales, especially initial sales when you launch something.
Hold on. I had the conference page still open, and they just launched another conference. They just launched another session right as you were talking, and it like started screaming in my ear, and I was like, oh my God, where's the off button? I can't hear. Oh God. So what did you just say? Can you repeat that?
What did I just say? Okay. So an email list is like super important to have for any product launch. Like the more people you have in that list, the better, because the conversion rates, which are still super low for email, are much higher for anything else, especially like tweeting something out, or I don't even know what else to do, because email is just so central to every launch of anything I've ever done.
Cool. Yeah. And everybody says build your list, and I'm just sort of like, the way I've launched products in the past, just sort of I make them with great care, I package them up, and then I go to the side of the highway and just dump them there, and then hopefully somebody comes along. You know, it's
well, horrible. I mean, WordPress at least has that index, right? You actually have a marketplace to put your plugins.
Those are, yeah, well, it's a free one, and there's issues and stuff, but yeah.
Okay, so it's free only, right? Or freemium
yeah.
at best?
Yeah, freemium gotcha. At best. So, but there are methods to do that in a more automated way. But and look, hey, I have 18 subscribers. Look at that.
Nice.
So good for that. So that worked for getting people's interest in this plugin. So yeah, I'm horrible at email lists, and hopefully get better in the future. But we'll launch these plugins and see how they do. But it was funny, someone in the chat in the Q&A after. It was like, hey, that sounds like a cool plugin. When's it launching? And I was like, or they said, you know, is it launching next month or in the next 6 months? And I was like, no, it's funny thing. It's actually developed. It's tested. We've actually launched it on a client site. I just have to finish writing the product page.
Right.
And, like, and I gave a cop out of like, you know, launching commercial plugins has this like list of stuff you got to do, and usually that's just really boring, but it's vital.
Yeah, that's, especially those marketing pages. The marketing stuff is always kind of hard.
It is. So I did say on the video that that would be launched and live before the end of October. So I have 12 days, which I can totally do.
I was just looking over a tweet thread of Amy Hoy. Do you know of her?
Yeah, product person. She's been around. She did Stacking the Bricks.
Yeah, exactly. She had a talk in MicroConf at 2012 that she linked to at some thread, and I read the transcript, and it was pretty good about writing. A large portion of it was about writing marketing copy and how we always talk about our product and all that stuff, and how we don't say like, this is, we don't talk about the customer, right? We talk about our product and ourselves.
Yes.
And our own marketing copy. So I thought that was something I've been keeping in mind since I saw that, and that might be relevant to you writing this page as well.
It is totally. I have a list of things that I want to do and sort of rework and say, okay, this is who's looking at this. Okay, it's a store owner or it's an agency who's building a store for somebody. So what are both of these people interested in? And then sort of changing the copy to that instead of like, here's a bullet, like literally some of my products, like here's a bullet list of features. And that is so uninspiring. Like it's the kid that never gets picked for the baseball team. You know, it's just
especially when there's multiple of your product, like, you know, multiple versions from other companies and stuff. So like you need the differentiator, or your marketing copy has to really speak to someone over, you know, the other stuff. You have to be able to inform a customer why you might be different and better for them.
Yeah, totally. So that's we could probably have a whole other post about our experience with writing that marketing copy and what worked and what hasn't. So, well, cool. Let's wrap up this. Like, yeah, I really wanted to, because I did that conference, I wanted to chat with you about conferences, and I'm sure other people are sort of trying to make decisions and like, you know, is it worth going to this conference, or should I just sort of skip it and try and focus my efforts elsewhere? So thanks for chatting, Chris. So where can people find you online?
I am at Fideloper. MySQL Backups.tv is the site if you want to sign up and find information about my MySQL Backups course, or serviceforhackers.com for all my free stuff and links to other not free stuff if you want to learn about servers.
Awesome. And I am at GrowDev on Twitter, and my plugin shop is shoppluggins.com. And yeah, that's the best places to find me. So cool, man. You can find all of these episodes at hasopinions.wtf. And if you're listening on iTunes, please give us a review. We would love you for it, and be very excited about that, and do an off-screen happy jump. If you leave us a good review. So yeah, excited. We'll see y'all next week. And yeah, have a good one.
See you later.